Begin transmission.
Hello and welcome, adventurers, to Dungeon Radio Hour, a D&D actual play comedy podcast where all of our clerics wear chainmail because it's holy armor. As always, I'm your host and dungeon master, Dalton Ruscher Riddle, joined once again by our ragtag band of would-be heroes. Introduce yourself, heroes.
I'm Michael Adair.
I'm Alyssa Adair.
And I'm Andrew Gerline.
What's up, everybody? Happy What's Friday night.
Up, happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
TGIF, all of you listeners out there, even though it's Tuesday yes. when you're probably listening to this. But it's a Friday for us.
We edit this and we bank these episodes for you guys so you always have something to listen to every other week because we can't commit to every week. Yes.
So let's get into tonight's intro topic. And tonight's intro topic was actually inspired by one of my favorite comic book characters of all time getting a resurrection in their current series, their current run. So this is what's kind of prompted this and has me in this headspace. But what villain in whatever type of media you want to explore, whether it be books, movies, TV shows, video games, board games, biographies, whatever, what villain do you, on some fundamental level, actually agree with?
You know what? Nermal from Garfield. She just wanted to hang out with Garfield.
Was Nermal a villain? Was she considered a... I mean, I guess she could
Garfield thought she was.
Hold on. Yeah. Mondays were the villain.
Garfield also thinks broccoli is a villain, but...
Well, it is a villain.
I was going to say Andrew probably also thinks that broccoli is a villain.
Yeah, I do. Nermal's pretty cute. Nermal just wanted a friend.
Nermal wanted a friend.
I get that.
Garfield's cousin, don't you know?
Mm-hmm. They were cousins?
Is it a her or a him?
I don't know.
Nermal, I think, is a her.
They gave it little eyelashes, and I always get confused because I'm always wrong whether it's a her or him.
Well, I know that Arlene...
Tweet into the show.
Garfield's girlfriend had big eyelashes, and she was a girl.
Arlene is the tall, pink, slutty one, right?
I think she... Yeah, she's definitely the slutty cat. I don't know if she's pink. She might be like tan colored.
These
aren't villains.
How did we get on this? What happened?
Who's the hottest cartoon animal? Drop it in the comments.
Yeah. She is the tall pink slutty one.
Is she pink?
Yeah, she's
pink. Drop your slutty animal fan art on our Instagram now.
And no Lola Bunny. Be creative.
Yeah, be creative. Sexualize somebody else.
When you said slutty cat, all I thought of was that Friends song, Smelly Cat. But okay. Slutty cat, slutty cat, why are you so slutty?
Slutty cat.
She's pink. Why is a cat pink in a comic?
You know what? I have a thoughtful take. Eric Killmonger from Black Panther.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Right?
Okay.
I mean, he was slighted, you know?
Yeah, he was slighted, but it's not only that. I mean, thematically, Wakanda. This giant country, like really, that nobody gets to visit. Everything's privatized. Everything has a literal energy shield around it, separating it from the rest of the continent, from the rest of the world. They're leagues beyond our technology. They have an abundance of resources. And yet, they let the rest of Africa and African Americans just wallow in poverty. They don't share any of this technology or their wealth. Mm-hmm. And that's what Eric Killmonger was upset about. Not only his father dying, but he grew up in like inner city LA in this apartment in the hood, and he had no way to get out. He had no way to even imagine getting out. And it wasn't until Wakanda kind of showed itself and Black Panther revealed himself in the media that, you know, kids actually, that the ending scene in the movie, a bunch of kids are seeing a ship come down from the sky on a basketball court in inner city LA. And they're amazed at what the possibilities could be. And it took Eric Killmonger dying for any of them to, like, realize that they were making a mistake, you know?
Also, honestly, he kind of does everything pretty fair, right? I mean, he fights Black Panther for the right to the to the throne,
he
which
did
is their normal thing.
He did
kill
a lot of people, though.
Yeah.
But
His name is Killmonger. And you know what? It's one of those guys that's just living up to his name. Can you blame him?
You're right.
But honestly, I'd be pissed too, you know?
Of course. He stole back artifacts from a museum that rightfully belonged to Wakanda.
Yeah.
And he has a direct lineage to Wakandan royalty.
Arguably, like, everyone he attacks has done something wrong.
No, his girlfriend, she, like, defies him and he shoots her point blank in the head.
Okay, except for her.
Yeah. But everybody else, sure.
Sure. Yeah. Outside of that one incident.
Yeah.
Right.
So he's like mostly okay.
Those are good points. And I remember feeling similar about Eric Killmonger when I watched Black Panther for the first time, because what was Black Panther's only argument against all that? We don't do that here. You can. You could. Mm-hmm.
There was like a pretty thin argument about other people not being responsible with those resources. Like, sure. Like, I think he was imagining, like, this technology and vibranium getting into the wrong hands. Sure. And we do see aspects of that, like those smugglers and everything. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, it could go wrong.
I mean, with Claw, the main antagonist. Yeah. Not the main antagonist.
I mean, one of the main antagonists.
It's true. Black Panther was more of the order side of things, and Killmonger was more the chaotic side. You know, with chaos came a lot of deaths, which I get as being bad.
Right.
But I definitely get where he's coming from, yeah.
And that's my completely serious response to this question.
Yeah. Look at you taking the question responsibly.
I'm very surprised and kind of impressed, Mike. Sticking in the Marvel universe, and actually the person who prompted this question in the first place, mine is Magneto.
Nice.
I have, you know, been an X-Men fan since the time I was, I don't know, 7, 8 years old. And even though Magneto has played both sides of the fence, he's been a good guy, he's been a bad guy, he, at his core, wants one thing, and it's freedom and peace for mutant kind without the, you know, overreaching hand of the, you know, human world. Mm-hmm. He just wants to provide a safe haven for the mutants because he knows that they can't live and coexist peacefully in a general populace. You know, he tried Asteroid M, he tried the island of Genosha, now they're all on Krakoa. He's a domestic terrorist from time and time again, and some of his measures are extreme.
Okay, because he believes basically everything you said for sure, but he also does believe that the mutants are superior, right?
He does. He does view the mutant race as superior.
And they are. The mutants are superior, and they should kill all of us normies because we're
lame. It's like Malcolm X said, by any means necessary. Yes. I agree with Magneto. Fuck shit up. He was also my other choice for this, actually.
Yeah. No, I think he thought that the ends justified the means. And honestly, when peace doesn't work, sometimes you have to be forceful to get what you want, especially when you're arguing for something as simple as a human right, or in this case, a mutant's right.
A mutant right, yeah.
So, he realized the patient Xavier way wasn't going to work. So he was like, we'll do this by brute force. Absolutely. And honestly, I can't really fault him.
Also, I mean,
I can't either.
He saw his family killed, in the Holocaust camps. And then, what did we do? We started registering mutants on a list so we knew where they lived and who they were. He just didn't want history to repeat itself.
Exactly. He's like, this is the same all over again. We're being treated as the lesser. We're being hunted down. And he wasn't going to stand for it. And sure, some innocents get killed along the way.
But are they really innocent? Right. Are humans really innocent? You know what I mean? Original sin.
Well, I mean, if you're asking basic yes or no questions, no.
We deserved it, you know, as a species. And my answer is sort of similar. Not a mutant, but a Pokemon who has a similar story for wanting peace. And that Pokemon is Mewtwo from the first Pokemon movie.
That's a good one.
He just wants to stop humans using Pokemon as weapons and sending them off to war and fighting their battles for them. He wants to be treated with dignity. And yes, he fucks shit up, but he's a cloned Pokemon who was tested on and basically tortured, right? Until he escaped and had to explode things. And it's not really his fault. You know, and humans do that to all sorts of species. Yeah. And if Pokemon were real, we would definitely experiment on them. And I would expect a real Mewtwo to rise up and obliterate us.
And also, he's very unique with Pokemon, right? Because he's, unlike others, he's actually an experiment. He was made. And so especially with that, to like see your creators. Right. It's just, yeah.
And
yeah.
he was made to be a killing machine, and then he saw other Pokemon were capable of friendship and love, and he's like, why can't I have that?
Exactly. Yeah. And
I
yeah,
see now that
and
the circumstances of one's birth are irrelevant.
And the same situation where there he's like, I'm scared. He's just fighting for his own rights.
Right.
To do and what he wants.
And I respect him for that, for the same reason as Magneto. And yeah, if I were Pokemon, yeah. I would crush heads too.
I have no notes. You know I'm going to agree with you all day on this one.
because, no notes, 100%.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
A plus.
That's, like, I love this topic because we're all agreeing with the villains that everyone else has also chosen. We're like, yeah. actually, yeah, like, you know what? Yeah, they have a point.
It's like, you know what? I see it. I see it. And you know what? You're totally going to get this one as well, all right? My villain that I agree with is Lord Licorice. From Candyland. Everyone thinks he's the villain because he's licorice. And you know what? If you get stuck on his spaces, why were you walking through his swamp? Why were you walking through his licorice in the first place? He just wants to have a castle.
You're intruding on his
property.
He just
wants to have his little space to live. Why are you invading it? Because you just want to go through and walk through Candyland like a little motherfucking Goldilocks? Don't go where you don't belong.
It's true.
Okay?
I just don't get... How did he get sequestered? Because... Licorice, unfortunately, like it or not, it's candy. And if there's a land for candy, licorice would be a country or a state in that land. So what did he do? What crimes did he commit to be ousted from the rest of Candyland?
It's like, why are we getting prejudiced against candy? I know licorice isn't everyone's favorite thing. I don't like licorice. Why are we making that the villain? This is unfair. Anyway.
But it's candy.
But it's candy.
It is. And also, it deserves it's better a place than, in candy like, fucking... ribbon candy or hard candy or something.
Yeah,
man.
The hell
you
is
know?
Ribbon candy?
Yeah, ask your grandpa what ribbon candy is. You get it at the nickel store.
Oh, is it those hard ribbons that look like they should be gummy, but they're hard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, those are the penny candies
that's
your grandma
terrible.
Would eat.
No, thank you.
Last time on Dungeon Radio Hour.
Umber Hulk.
And I kind of just put the sword where the thing's head was.
And you swipe it through the space as it falls with a thud to the floor, revealing a lush office and living quarters on the other side.
The dragon dude was saying that someone was trying to open portals to Earth. I mean, that's what got us here in the first place.
Down at the bottom of each of these order forms, Anora's Realm's magic shop.
It sounds like Anora's doing some pretty shady shit.
Standing in the open doorway is a tall, slender drow as he brings both of his hands together with a slow clap. Last time you all made your way further into the castle, you found a tower that contained an Umber Hulk, and Alyssa found this newfound power that she completely blinked it out of existence in front of all of your eyes. You realize that it was hiding a trap door that you need a second key to. So you went down this long, dark hallway and eventually found Neznar's personal chambers. Several clues and important bits of information have presented themselves to you. And the last kind of sound and sight that all of you have was Neznar standing in the doorway to his personal chambers.
So, the four of you have finally made it to me. Excellent.
Were you expecting us?
Of course I was expecting you. We've had tabs on you for quite a while.
Well, we were expecting you too.
Yeah.
You dark elf son of a bitch was... Hey, by the way... We've been keeping tabs on you, too, I should say, and add, because we saw you in the caves that one time. Yeah, you didn't think we were there, did you?
Yeah.
Ah, yes. Clog should have killed you when he had the chance. I should have killed you when I had the chance.
But you didn't, and you've been fucking up this entire time, and that's how we've gotten to run around all kinds of crazy, nearly catching you. Because you suck at finding us and killing us.
I will admit that you have been causing quite a nuisance. And I'm afraid it's time to tie up the loose ends.
Not yet. Not yet. We know you have our friend. And before we get into this battle and we start bleeding and getting into a scuffle, could you tell us where he's located and the best way to acquire him? Because when we defeat you, you son of a bitch, we're going to go save our friend. And then we're going to... What was the next part of the plan, guys? Oh, leave and go back to Earth.
Exactly.
Yeah, you asshole.
Or we could be amicable and not fight, and you could also just give us Dalton. He's probably worthless, and then we'll just go our merry way. We're just not even from this world. We're not helpful. We're not useful. Let us go back.
Right. Yeah. We'll go back with the help of our friend Corpheus. Right.
Yeah, we're besties now.
Ah, yes. I wondered why the dragon allowed you into my castle. But not to worry, he will be dealt with. And as for your friend, you will see him soon enough.
And as Neznar says enough, he jumps up onto the ceiling, his feet sticking to the stone above.
I'm sorry. Oh, no. No. He's just going to be upside down now?
Alyssa's flipping through the Dungeon Master's Guide. What spell?
What is this?
And
I'm looking at my spells for dummies. Like, no. This
and
isn't
as
in the manual.
He hangs upside down. He says the words, and everything goes dark. The torches that have been illuminating this room instantly go out.
Guys. Okay. Are you guys still here, first of all?
I'm still here.
No, I'm here.
Okay, I couldn't tell if I was in a void floating or something. He's either watching us and listening right now, or we're good. What do you guys think?
I think we're good. I think he just turned off the lights and left. Yeah.
We're good.
No, of course he's here.
Do we have any, like, weapons or artifacts to, like, see through magical darkness? Look through your inventory.
Okay, I start patting my pockets. I can't see anything, but I'm patting my pockets. I've got the same bow, I got this wand. I don't know what it does. I pull out my wand of wonders, which I've never used, and I aim at where I thought I saw him jump up and go upside down, and I want to just activate this wand in some way. I'm going to squeeze it hard. I'm going to go ha-da-da or something.
Just like that.
Cool. Andrew, roll a D100 for me.
Ooh.
What?
68.
I'm always astounded anytime someone asks me for a
D100. A 68. Andrew, roll a D4 for me.
2.
Cool. You point your wand of wonder up towards the ceiling in the direction that you saw Neznar last, and you feel this surge of power start in your toes, working its way up your body, through your arms, your fingertips, and into the wand itself. And then you feel the room getting bigger. It's like the walls are extending and the ceiling gets further and further away. And you realize that it's not the room getting bigger, but it's you getting smaller.
It's me getting smaller?
And you have effectively cast reduce or enlarge and reduce on yourself, and you are shrinking down.
Okay, but it's dark and I probably cannot. I might feel smaller, but I don't know if I can tell for sure, right?
It is darkness, so you don't see the room, or you don't see the room get bigger, or you think it gets bigger, but you feel this like rush of air as it's almost like you're descending down.
Like a balloon deflating.
Hey man, at least you're not a plant.
Guys, I don't know what's going on here, but I don't think my wand does anything, but I think we need to either blast at the ceiling or we need to leave as soon as possible.
Andrew, why do you sound different? Where are you?
What are you talking about?
Oh,
why are
you guys? I think I just touched you with my foot.
I guess she steps on me. Ow.
Oh, fuck. I just tapped you. I just tapped you. It's okay.
I'm tiny.
Did all my stuff turn tiny? Like my bow?
Yeah, everything shrinks with you. Yeah.
Okay.
Mike, into your pocket, buddy, or Alyssa. I'm mad. You throw me up there, I'm going to sock him in the face.
Here, I feel around near my foot. I try to find very gently for Andrew.
I feel a lace, and I climb your leg. I'm climbing the daggers that are just all over you two, and I'm like jumping on them like steps.
It makes for a good ladder. There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, yeah, and I perch on your shoulder like a bird, and I go,
ca-ca. Nah, it's Andrew.
That was right in my ear.
It was loud, dude.
Right there. Okay? You don't have to be so loud. You're right there. Okay. But hey. Anyway, I start blowing the air, trying to dispel magic like I did before. Just...
Okay. Okay.
On the darkness?
On the darkness. Like it's a fog.
Alyssa, so as you begin to cast Dispel Magic and you flap your hands around and you... And all of you watch as with each breath and each like puff of air, more and more of the darkness dissipates and the room starts to come back into view. And you hear Neznar from up above,
very clever. Looks like I'll have to try a different tactic.
Yeah, man, don't mess with my lungs. They strong, even with asthma.
Yeah.
My wife's lungs work, dude.
Yeah. I put my finger up for a little high five.
High five. I use my whole arm. Forearm.
Yeah. Yeah.
As the four of you are down below Neznar, kind of celebrating and what have you, you hear him start to whisper again in that language that you can't really understand. And I need... Who do I want to do this to?
I mean, probably me, right?
Yeah, it's going to be
you. I'm the
one
who's done stuff. Yeah,
yeah, it's going to be you.
I am the biggest threat. I showed magic. I'm also normal sized. Yeah.
Alyssa, give me a wisdom save.
Oh, thank God. Eight. Okay, you laugh, but I got a 2.
Dalton's laugh scares me.
I got a 2, so I'm just glad I have a really good saving throw bonus.
So you hear a voice inside your head and you recognize it as Neznar, but then it kind of starts to morph into your own voice and the words keep repeating.
Oh. Kill them. Kill them. Kill them.
And you look at Alyssa and her eyes start to roll back in her head. Ooh. And I need everyone to roll for initiative.
Oh, no. Did they do, what was it, command?
No, it's dominate person.
Shit, okay.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Well, hello there, folkaroonies. It's Faerun's most sensitive and sensual wizard, Jeff. Allow me to slide on into your cozy little ear holes for an important message. I have a podcast. Ooh, you're on the advice corner. Ba-da-ba-ba. Dear Jeff, I'm a young goblin exploring my body. What do I do when my sex spikes come out? And is it a sin? You want to start a mutiny, huh? And who speaks for all of you?
Speak for us.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Come on up here and say it in the mic. Say it to my face, then.
Yeah, but I'll say it to your face. You do weird stuff at night, and we all have to watch.
I mean, why do you make us face you when you do it? That thing at night.
You see the deal here? I run Bedtown.
Yeah, what's it like to touch your
What is it like? I mean, it's... my hands are up here, by the way. So I'm not doing anything.
Right.
Describe to me the skin feel.
They're smooth, Jeff.
Uh-huh.
Jeff,
my hands. I'm sorry, hands are up here.
Yeah, but I see you casting mage hands.
Oh, okay. Sounds pretty fun, huh? Bet you wish you were invited to the old Jeff party. Well, you are. Tune your dials in to Patreon for the exclusive show and join in the fun. But Jeffrey, it costs gold and shekels and dollar money. Why would I join the Patreon when Dungeon Radio Hour is free? How about precisely for that reason? Look, if you love Dungeon Radio Hour, I gotta tell ya, those four fine folks work their little hiney butts off. And this is the best way to give back and selfishly get yourself a new library of Dungeon Radio Hour content. Afraid of commitment? I get it. Most women are afraid of committing to me. Now, I have a strong, sexy suspicion you'll want to stick around, but if you want to just do 1 month to binge the entire catalog and think of it as a one-time support of the show, hey, it's a free dimension. Do what you want. So what are you waiting for? This commercial to end? Don't sweat it. I'll wait right here while you sign up. Did you do it? You did? OMG! This is amazing! Don't forget to tell your friends and your single cousins to check out JeffCast and the rest of the amazing content on Patreon!
Now back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Alyssa, you are up first. Neznar is controlling you. I'm going to let you have your own kind of autonomy here. You can choose what attacks and spells you want to use, but they have to be aggressive unless you are attacked, and then you can go on the defensive, and it has to be against Andrew, Mike, or Arnold.
Come on, Alyssa. I'm the angel on your shoulder. Don't do this.
And I run over to the other ear.
I have the devil on your shoulder. I also agree you shouldn't do this. See, we're both in agreement.
For once, both sides are in agreement. Don't
do it. I want to turn with Andrew, babe. You're kind of hogging him. Can you put him on my shoulder for a minute?
Don't worry. You can have it. And I flick him.
Oh, shit.
Tiny Andrew! Oh, my God. Buddy, where are you?
Where do I land, Dalton?
Andrew, give me a D4.
3.
You take 3 bludgeoning damage as you fly across the room and you land about 25 feet or so away from everyone else in the center of the room. So everyone's in the center of the room. You are now in the doorway that leads back out into the hallway.
Okay, and to me, it's like a mile away.
Correct.
Shit, bro. Alyssa! You flicked me, girl. What's up with that?
Andrew, I can hear you, bud. Where are you? Oh, Mike. You're so tiny. I start to like step around and look for Andrew, dog.
Cool. You.
I also use my movement to turn and look straight at Mike and just start walking towards him.
Oh. Oh, God.
Oh. Okay, cool. So you do so. You use your movement to turn and start walking directly towards Mike while he's searching on the ground for Andrew. Mike, go ahead and give me a perception check. Or an investigation, I'm sorry.
13.
Cool. You do find Andrew. You hear his little tiny voice first, and then you see him kind of waving his arms over near the doorway, and you walk. You start making your way and walking towards him. But as you start to get close, Neznar drops down in front of you. Where do you think you're going?
I'm trying to have fun with my tiny friend. But since you have hexed my wife, and you made her look like scary, Alyssa, and you made my friend have to be tiny, and now you're in the way of me, I'm going to have to kill you, bud, like this. And then I make my hand into a fist.
A scary fist. An intimidating fist.
And then I go in for just a straight haymaker to his chin.
Okay.
As hard as I can with all my brawny strength.
Okay, cool. So you you ball up your fist and you rear back and you fly forward with all of your brawny strength right before you make contact. Neznar holds up his hand and grabs your fist in his open palm, and you watch as this necrotic energy starts to suck the life force from your fist as he casts Vampiric Touch.
Ah, that's my good hand, aside from the other hand. That's my favorite one.
Both hands are good.
They're both good. That's my favorite one, though.
I see this. I want to shoot. Can I? I know it's probably not my turn, but I'm like,
let go of my friend.
and I want to shoot, like, what I think is going to be the most badass firebolt at Neznar's hand that's touching Mike, but it's just, like, a tiny, tiny little blip.
Yeah, so, Andrew, you do that. You yell out, stop touching my friend, and you hold out your fingy gun, and you get ready to make this grand gesture, this attack. And it's not even like a single spark that flickers from the end of your extended index finger.
Oh, shit.
It now goes to Mike's turn.
Now I'm pretty peeved. So I look at him and I say, hey, man, you don't want to do this. And my words start echoing. You don't want to do this. And I try to charm person.
What is your spell save?
Oh, man. It's not good.
It's not good.
14.
Cool. So you go to say you don't want to do this, and you all listen as it reverberates off of the wall, and it even shakes some of the dust loose from the ceiling, and the words kind of wash over Neznar. And he just smirks and says, this is exactly what I want to do. Since he is a dark elf, he does have advantage on being charmed.
God damn it.
So he got an 18.
At every turn. Okay, well then, let me do a bonus action. Hey, how close is he to me?
You're right on each other.
All right. He just necrotified my fist. So I'm going to push him. I'm going to give him a good shove.
Okay. I will allow a shoved bonus action. Sure. Give me a contested strength check.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but for added flavor, I put my foot behind his foot. So behind his ankle, there's my foot. I'm tripping him over my own foot. It's a really good way to trip somebody. I've done it before. So I'm going to... And
peak way.
I shove him hard. I'm going to roll a die now. And
your die will determine how hard
14.
You push.
Cool. So you do so. You take your opposite hand and you kind of lean your shoulder into it while you also wrap your foot back behind. And you push and shove him with all of your might. And you feel his grasp let loose and let go of your hand. And as he does that, kind of like numb necrotic feeling leaves your hand. And as he is falling down onto the ground, you see him extend that same hand and do this like one-armed backflip away and over your foot. And then he stands back up and just smirks.
You look ridiculous right now. What a stereotypical villain you are. That's some malignant bullshit. Alyssa, are you seeing this? You're evil.
Hell yeah.
Tiny Andrew,
you Michael see him? Fassbender playing him? He looks like Michael Fassbender.
Yeah. He does.
I mean, he looks like Michael Fassbender. Yeah.
All right, what does he say? He's got an evil thing to say.
He looks at you and he smirks and he goes, good. I do enjoy playing with my food.
You're going to eat us?
Andrew.
When did that become? What was that on the table?
What?
I thought you just didn't like us.
Although I get it because human flesh is pretty good, I will say, as I'm a big proponent of human flesh and that whole movement, but not us, buddy.
Andrew, it is your turn.
I'm using my turn to continue this speech. Guess what? I'm going to try to get a little closer to you because the spark didn't quite make it.
I run as fast and far as I can, which is probably like a foot.
You go 5. I'll let you go 5 feet. You go 5 feet.
You let me go 5? Shit.
You.
That's 1/6 of your normal movement. So,
not knowing what to do because I'm clearly helpless, I go,
gotta think, fuck it.
I pull out the wand again. This time I point it at myself and I go,
Biggio!
And I squeeze it.
What?
Big
no.
That's no. The spell. That's,
no, it's not.
That's no word. Give me the one.
Andrew.
I refuse for that to be the spell.
This is like Alice in Wonderland. He just thinks, oh, like if I just eat the mushroom again, I'll get big.
It's about the intention.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't think it is.
Andrew,
but.
roll a
D100.
This is bullshit.
Oh my God.
84.
Oh boy.
I mean, this could be very good or very bad.
It's a hole in my chest now.
Andrew, you turn.
Andrew made one nipple big.
You turn the wand around to face you, and your arms are kind of out in front of you, stretched out, and the wand is pointing towards your chest, and you shout, "Big EO." And you feel your entire body go numb. You know that pins and needles feeling? Your entire body goes numb. And when you look back down at where the wand was and where your arms were, you can't see them anymore because you have now cast invisibility on yourself.
Oh, no.
For my bonus action, I want to... Can I keep running towards him? I want to... Eventually climb inside of his pant leg.
I'm
going somewhere specific.
You have already used your movement by okay. going 5 feet.
All right. I will end on I'm invisible and I'm angry.
I call out to Andrew and I say, Andrew, now you're really small. So I have to fight this guy. I'm going to step as like calmly as I can.
I'll avoid your feet, bro. I can see
okay.
you.
Okay.
So I'll avoid
yeah,
your feet.
Yeah, just keep a distance.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I got to keep fighting this
yeah,
guy.
You do your thing, man. I got you, okay?
All right. Hey,
I love
got
you, buddy.
You. And then I love you, too. I shoot him a wink wherever he is. I don't know. I shoot a wink into just the middle distance. and I say, you can do
cool.
this.
Cool. So it now goes to Arnold, who, as he watches Andrew disappear, becomes very concerned.
Sir Andrew, where did you go? Michael, Lady Alyssa, look at me. You are not yourself.
And he goes to put his hand on Alyssa's shoulder. And Alyssa, he turns you around. And I'm using my action to try and convince you or to snap out of it, essentially. So I'm going to do an improvised persuasion check, which is not a great roll.
Lady Alyssa, look me in the eye. This is some sort of spell that you are under. You are better than this. He has bewitched you. Lady Alyssa, look at me.
But don't you see? All of us deserve to die. We need to follow Nesnar's plan. That is the greatest thing here.
And I shove him back with my hand and cast Eldritch Blast as I shove him off of me.
Oh,
Arnold?
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Sorry.
Cool. Since it's close quarters, give me...
I'm just following my master.
Give me an attack roll at disadvantage.
16. Damn, was the okay. lower.
Was the lower of the two? Okay.
Yeah.
So you watch as you shove Arnold back, and with that same motion, it releases a pulse of energy as these beams of light smash into him and shove him back.
Soon you will see. We will all be where Nesnar needs us to be.
Oh, no. Lady Alyssa, you do not want to do this.
And we're going back to Nesnar. So Nesnar kind of looks at you, Mike, with a little bit of a grin, and then he raises his hand towards you, and he says,
let's just chill out for a second.
And he casts...
Oh, no. You better not do an ice thing, man. You better not fucking do an ice thing, man. You can kill me, but you can't do it with the fucking shitty pun beforehand. All right? That's an insult. Oh, my God.
And he casts Ray of Frost as you watch this,
son
like, white-blue beam of energy come towards you. And that's going to be a 18 to hit, which is more than your armor class. And you instantly get this like cold and chilling feeling as you take 13 points of frost damage.
Okay, that was fast. I don't like it.
And now it is Andrew's turn. Oh no, it's Mike's turn. Mike, it's your turn. Terribly sorry.
All right. Hold on. I gotta get a teeth chatter going. Hey, asshole. Guess what? You forgot about two things, my friend. Thelma and Louise. And I hold up both of my fists. Hey, pal. You just messed with my two best friends in the entire world. And now, I'm gonna kick your fucking ass. And then I swing my fist at him. And then I swing my other fist at him. I do a double punch, And my words become blades in the air, slicing into his fucking neck. Cutting cool. words. Cutting yeah. words is what I'm saying.
Give me a roll to hit.
Okay. 8.
Okay, cool. So you go to take your swing, and you were so focused on getting
words. Hold on. I have bonus points. Plus 6. 14. Now what? Now it's going to work, huh? Sorry about that. Now
yeah,
it's going to work, though.
Yeah, you didn't know.
14.
Wait, hold on. You're not even using cutting words right.
Shut up. I'm going to... He's not at all, but I'm going to... I'm gonna fudge it a little bit.
Fudge it,
okay. So you go to make a swing at Nezdar, and your fist swings and flies through the air, but you have too much momentum for that first strike, and you narrowly miss him. But in the moment, you are able to recover and come in with that left hook and hit him hard in the side of the ribs. And as he does kind of double over a little bit. And even though you are not using cutting words correctly, I'm going to let it play out here because I like the intention behind it.
Yeah.
And you go to use your cutting words and you just drain his confidence. They hit him just as hard as that fist did. And I'm going to give him disadvantage on his next attack roll and his next damage roll for whoever he goes after.
Just a few more of those and he'll be dead.
Sure.
Andrew, yeah, baby.
It is now your turn.
Oh, yeah.
How far away am I from his foot? Neznar's foot.
If you take another 5 feet of movement, which would be your entire movement for this round, you would be right there.
Dude, okay. I book it, and I'm running so small and fast. Uh-huh. I get to his foot, and I'm like, pretty nice, Doc Martens. Okay. And I want to scurry up his pant leg. Okay. As high as I can get on this turn.
Cool. Give me a dexterity check. Ooh. Or I guess that would be athletics. Give me an athletics.
Athletics? Okay. Oh, that's my 17.
That's still enough. You are able to climb from the floor all the way up to the top of his shoe / the bottom of his pant leg.
Okay. I climb up there, and I go,
hold your breath. We're going through a tunnel.
And then I put his pant leg over my body, preparing to scurry up the leg on my following turn.
Okay, cool. It is now Arnold's turn. So Arnold, after being hit by Alyssa's Eldritch Blast, kind of raises himself up and looks at you, and he goes,
as much as it pains me to do this, I must do it for your own good.
And he raises his shield and he unsheathes his mace. And as he does, it erupts in flame. And with a flap of his wings, he flies toward you. And he goes to take a swing. And that's going to be a 15.
Dude, which I think hits. Bro, you could just slap me silly. Why do you gotta actually hit me with a flaming mace?
You got a new overlord, Alyssa. Shouldn't have had an overlord.
Shouldn't have had an overlord. No, that hits.
Yeah, it definitely hits. So he goes to hit you with his searing smite, but he does it only on its lowest lowest
level.
Oh,
thank you.
He's
just
we're
the
only gonna,
lowest flaming mace.
We're only gonna burn one spell slot here, giving you 3 damage from the hit as he knocks you in the shoulder and sends you down towards the floor. Since you have taken damage, though, you get to roll a wisdom save to see if
yes.
it breaks concentration.
19.
That is enough to do it. So as you feel the hit on your shoulder and the flame burns into your armor and into your flesh, and you are instantly met with a cold stone floor against the other side of your body as you fly or as you fall to the ground, those sensations are enough to kind of make you snap out of it.
Nice.
I just look up at Arnold with like the biggest doe eyes, not remembering anything. And I'm just like, why?
He immediately drops his mace and he rushes toward you. Lady Alyssa, you're back.
What happened? What? Where's Andrew?
None of that matters now. The most important thing is we get out of here alive.
Rude.
You, me, Sir Andrew, and Michael.
Who gives a fuck about you?
Yes, one question about where I was. And you said none of that matters.
None of the answers matters.
Arnold, I thought we were cool, bro.
I just imagine you like in the pant leg and you overhear Arnold saying that, and you're just like, what?
Heard that, bro.
Wow.
Not cool.
I'll be writing in my journal about that.
Alyssa, it does go back into your turn.
And now a what's that? An incoming transmission from a strange new world. From planet Earth. This transmission comes from a real-life sponsor.
Of all the hot springs in the Sword Coast, this one's surely the most relaxing.
And well-deserved.
I didn't think those gnolls would be so hard to butcher.
I know, they wouldn't stop coming. But you fought with the best of them today, friend.
No, you. You were amazing, the way you were all, come at me, foul devils, and I will crush you with but my fist. I will...
Oh, stop. You were the one who was just decapitating and decapitating. I mean, wherever there was a head.
I do love to decapitate.
A lovely respite from the tumult of war.
But do you know what would make it better?
You didn't.
I did. A little bath bomb.
Oh, this is too much.
Ooh, and we have to light a candle for ambiance. Firelight Fable's candles are suitable for any occasion, especially after a long day of battling. And none of the sins contain chemicals. They're made from all natural ingredients, like essential oils. And no need to worry about a soy allergy. These candles are made from 100% apricot and coconut wax. So you can light up that candle guilt and worry free. It's like I'm being transported to a fragrant land of pure whimsy.
Ah, yes. This is just what the cleric ordered.
Scrub my back?
Sure.
Visit firelightfables.com today and treat your nose to something magical.
Now back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Alyssa, it does go back into your turn.
I hold my hand up to have Arnold help me back up onto my feet. And as that happens, I slowly realize what has happened. I've kind of pieced it together of that I haven't been myself for the past couple seconds because I can just see the hurt on his face. And so I turn to Neznar, and with all of the pain and resentment growing inside of my chest, it just explodes into this magic missile spell. Energy just bursts from me.
You guys look at Alyssa, a like little mote of light that contains every single color of the rainbow start to form around her. There are four in total. And as she finishes that cry, they all fly towards Neznar, hitting him in the chest and kind of making him take a step back.
Ah, so you can think for yourself again. We'll have to do something about that.
And he uses his movement to cross back into the middle of the room. And as he does, you look down as a blade of shadowy, dark energy forms in his hand. And with a swipe faster than you can even realize it's happening, he cuts across your chest, giving you a total of 8 damage.
To me?
To you.
Why?
I was a good vessel. For his whims and demands.
I was such a good vessel for my time.
As you look so shocked and surprised.
You're the only real threat in this room. And if you're not working for me, you're against me.
Oh yeah, well baby, I've got a reaction for when I'm attacked, which is called Hellish Rebuke. So I tell him, yeah, you should feel threatened. And I burst energy from my chest back at him in this hellish fire.
Cool. You do so, and as you retaliate back, and this like flaming energy jumps from your torso and slams into him, you can see like the ends of his silky white hair kind of start to smoke and go up in flames before he shakes it off.
Good. Fight.
and then it is Mike's turn.
Okay. I look at Neznar, and I say, I was being fucking polite earlier, friend, but you just cut my wife, and now you're about to get tuned the fuck up. And then I cast True Strike. I take my fire sword out of the scabbard, and I just bring it down smooth at a sharp angle right across his neck, just down.
Cool.
Down his body.
Mike, give me a roll to hit with advantage.
Yeah, right. Oh,
thank God you gave advantage.
Right. 17.
Cool. That is enough to hit. And as you cast True Strike, have you ever played Fallout?
I have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you know when you go to like shoot somebody and you can like zero in on one of the like body parts, and it gives you like a 99% chance to hit or a 2% chance to hit. As you go to swing your sword through the air, you kind of get that like HUD, that heads up display, and you can see what percentage has the best striking chance. As you bring your sword down, give me a D8 and a D6.
Alrighty.
Like add it together?
Yeah, add it together.
8.
And as you bring that sword down, it ignites in flames and clashes hard against Neznar's upper back and part of his neck, and he turns around and goes, "Phew!" Andrew, it is your turn.
Okay. Before I climb up his leg, I take one last peek outside of the pant leg, and I'm looking up at his like belt. Does he have anything magical or dangerous attached on his belt loops at all?
There are various pouches and vials on his belt, but you can't tell that any of them are magical or not.
Instead of climbing on the inside, I see this belt, and I want to climb up the outside of his pant leg up to the belt buckle. That's my trajectory.
Okay, cool. Give me another athletic check.
Ooh, 15.
Cool. So you begin your ascent and you climb up the leg, the pant leg of Neznar. And there are a couple times that you lose your grip and you slip down, but you are able to close the distance from the bottom of his pant leg all the way up to where his belt cinches at the waist.
Is that my whole turn or can I take an additional action?
That is your movement. I will give you an action.
I would like to undo his belt buckle so that his belt and all of its things fall to the ground.
And all of it falls down.
Yeah, it needs to fall.
And eventually his pants will fall down. His belts, that's their whole purpose.
Give me a sleight of hand check.
Yeah.
Ooh, 20. Modified
God
20.
God damn it. Okay. You are, because you're so tiny and your hands are smaller, you are able to work this belt buckle in this closure pretty quickly, and you watch as it falls down to the ground with a clatter. But as it falls down and makes that noise, you look up as Neznar looks straight down at you.
Like eye contact?
Like eye contact.
Oh, no.
And sees.
Can you see this?
I flip him off. You. Two tiny little invisible fingers.
And he just kind of like snarls and growls back at you. And it goes to Arnold's turn.
Get him, Arnold.
Yeah.
Arnold looks at you, Mike, and he goes, Michael, we take him together. And then Arnold goes in with his mace, and you watch as his mace clashes with the shadowy blade that Neznar now wields, and they exchange a couple of blows, but it's clear that in swordsmanship they are very matched, and Arnold isn't able to make a hit. And now goes to Alyssa's turn.
Okay, so I'm watching their sword fighting, and I can't move. I'm still up against the wall, bleeding and holding my chest. I can feel this energy come out of me, and I cast Spiritual Weapon.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
And I manifest a glowing rainbow sword in front of me.
Shit.
I go and I slash Neznar with the flaming sword.
Damn. Okay, give me... Do we have to roll anything for Spiritual Weapon? I don't think we do, do we?
Nah.
I think for all intents and purposes, it works like a
cantrip.
Weapon. Yeah, so I make a melee attack roll.
Okay, okay, cool. So give me a melee attack. Give me an attack roll.
Okay, nice. 21 modified to hit.
21 modified to hit.
Ah, and it's going to be 10 damage.
Damn. Okay. So you raise up this like spiritual ethereal sword that has appeared in this space in front of you. And as you bring your hand down, the weapon does indeed come down as well. And Neznar in the last instant sees it and he tries to throw up a shield of arcane protective energy, but he doesn't get it up in time. So the blade does make contact with both Neznar and the shield absorbs some of that hit as it comes down hard on Neznar's shoulder. And you can see the blade of energy make a cut into the drow's flesh. So as the hit lands into Neznar, he looks down at you, Andrew, and he picks you up by the scruff of your neck and throws you towards Mike and towards Alyssa and towards Arnold. So whoever wants to catch him can, if you guys want to.
Mike, open your mouth, buddy. As I say as I fly in the air.
I open my mouth up wide and I'm like, I got you, buddy. And then I just leave my mouth open.
I tuck my knees and I try to cannonball into his mouth.
You do so. Mike, you feel, you can't see him, but you do indeed feel a small object fly into your mouth that sounds and moves around and wiggles like Andrew.
I tuck him into the bottom of my lip like I got a just a chaw, a dip down there. I'm like, yeah, that tastes like wintergreen skull right there. That's my buddy.
Hey, buddy, you really gotta floss. These gums are rough, dude.
As he throws Andrew off and they kind of flourish, he jumps back probably 20 feet or so away from the four of you and where you're all kind of collected there together. And he holds both of his hands up. And after a couple of signs that he makes in the air, Sub-Zero style, you start to watch as water vapor comes and forms in the center of his opened hand as he releases a blast of freezing air towards all four of you. And as it starts to wash over you, you start to feel colder and stiffer, and all four of you become frozen in place. Ah, oh, what's with the cold shoulder? What a chilling end. See what I did there? But bad puns aside, things aren't looking good for our heroes, and what exactly does Neznar have planned now that he's turned them into human-sized popsicles? Find out next time when our new episode drops on November 14th. In the meantime, we want to give a special shout-out to all of our patrons, and we appreciate your continued support of the show. If you want to be a part of this incredible group of humans, then consider becoming a patron yourself by heading to www.patreon.com/dungeonradiohour. Until next time, keep the volume up, the dial tuned in, and always say yes to adventure. Bye for now, kids. Yeah, good job, Neznar. That was good. They think they're the quippy ones. They're not. I can be funny, too. Yeah, my mom said I would never amount to anything. She was wrong. Has she ever captured four people at once? No. No, she hasn't. Now what am I gonna do? I have to move them. Goblins! Yeah. That's it. Right. I'll make the goblins do it. Because I'm in charge. Because I'm Neznar.
Yeah.
Ooh, I got myself a chill. But not like them, because they're frozen.
Hey, Game Masters.
Are you sick of cliche stories that leave your players falling asleep?
Do you suffer from low engagement at your gaming table?
Do you struggle with creating interesting plots and engaging NPCs?
Do your players laugh at your tiny dice rolls?
Well, we can't help you with that one. But we can help you level up your gaming. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Josh.
We discuss the topics that matter the most when you're being a GM.
Be that better map design, telling gripping mysteries, or just not killing off your players in an adversarial way. I mean, yeah.
Join us at Level Up Your Gaming, a tabletop RPG podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts.